Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carey Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, why does it seem, Joe, like we have seen this movie before?
Hey, you know,
maybe on a lot of Tuesdays we have. It's just, there's a shot, huh?
It's just me, you, and Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Really? Is she here?
No, she's on TV.
You admire her, huh?
She's all right.
Folks, this is Jaguars This Week. It's not the Rush Limbaugh Show or Sean Hannity or anything like
you
that.
You see her in that red, white, and blue bikini? Holding a rifle?
Oh, dear God. with about a 9-inch platform heel on top of an elk.
That's
right.
That's class, baby.
Welcome to Alaska, ladies and gentlemen, which is a beautiful place. Okay, so Jaguars This Week. We've got no Vic. We've got no Jeff. Yeah. Last night we had no coach for the coaches show, and so that's why I say we have seen this movie before. But last night we had a good time, got a lot done, and tonight we anticipate doing the exact same thing. Here's the game plan for the next hour of Jaguars This Week, presented by Joe Aetna.
And we're going to sing and dance for an hour. How cool is that?
I'd rather see Sarah Palin in a bikini.
How about Pro Bowlers?
Okay, yeah, we've got a couple of those. Montel Owens will join us after the first break. So in the next 7 minutes or so, we'll check in with Montel.
I already scared him away singing and dancing.
I thought the part about the elk maybe. Yeah. Did you say that he's now a starter in the Pro Bowl? I mean, he is anyway as the special teams guy, but now as the fullback?
I think things have happened that I don't know about, but.
All right, well, we'll ask him about that.
He'll know.
Yeah, he should know. Then at the bottom of the hour, Mercedes Lewis will join us, coming off of a 10-touchdown season, which tied the record. You know, and I told Mercedes, I forget where we were. I think maybe we were in Nashville after that win, and he did not score a touchdown. And I said, you know, you're kind of stuck on 7. You need 3 more to tie Reggie Williams. And he said, I know. And I said, man, you can't let that knucklehead have the record. You know, I mean, bing, bing. Do you have that somewhere?
Bing, bing. I got it now. Fine.
Okay, now I find that. So Mercedes will join us. We won't talk about Reggie Williams. We'll just talk about.
Hey, Logie even said that on the air when he scored. He said, I hope he gets one more because I don't want Reggie
to have the record. No,
pretty funny.
Yeah, it's comedy. And we strive for that over the course of the year. So then we're still hoping. It's questionable at this point, but we are hoping that we'll connect with Maurice Jones-Drew. And
a lot of M's on the show.
Yeah, you know. Did you notice that most of this year, I called him Maurice Jones-Drew?
Yeah, because, you know, it bothered me too, actually.
No. It doesn't bother him, though. He likes the controversy.
I understand that.
Yeah. I'm calling him Drew. Mama call him Drew. I call him Drew. I tried to work it in a little bit more this year because there were some people whose feathers were ruffled over that. But I asked him, what's it say on your driver's license? And he said, Maurice Drew. And I said, well, then I can call you Drew. And he goes, I don't care. So I did. The ESPN folks said, hey, how come he doesn't call you Maurice Jones-Drew? I said, man, you guys with these hyphenated names? I mean, you're a play-by-play guy's nightmare. I'd rather have P.U. Songapuatelli because I don't have to say Songapuatelli Smith.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
You take those big pills, that'll take care of it for you.
Comedy. All right, folks, you can visit the RPM Automotive at 9148 Phillips Highway this Saturday from 10 till noon to get some free fishing advice from professional bass angler Clay Dyer. No information as to whether Jeff Logan will be there first in line because I don't think he bass fishes. That's RPM Automotive, 9148 Phillips Highway, Saturday, 10 until noon.
Cool.
Okay. So this is really kind of lame. Let's open the phone lines up. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351 if you want to weigh in with a thought. You know what? Before these guys get on, let me call my shot. All right? And
all right, babe.
I know who's playing in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
All right? No drum roll, please.
Okay.
I say the New England Patriots, which, you know.
That's a stretch.
That's really going out on a limb, Sexton. That's really going out on a limb. But
I'm still going with the Eagles.
That's a good pick.
I don't care.
That will drive people to call.
Because you know why? Because Michael Vick's amazing.
Michael Vick became Michael Vick at the end of that game. It's what he always did. Career 58.5 passer before this season. 58.5 passer on that last throw. Okay, so I go with the Patriots, and in the NFC, and this will not be popular. not in these walls, because everyone loves Mike Smith. And if you don't pick Mike Smith, Loggy and Vic, they just shake their heads. How can you? They are so biased. They are such Smitty homers. And I love them, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And here's why.
Well, it's because you and Tim Connelly are really tight.
These people don't even know who Tim Connelly is.
It doesn't matter. You know who he is.
Yeah, I do know who he is. And yeah, no.
Somewhere Mike Dorrit's going, that's inside. I don't know what they're talking about.
And you and Mike Dorrit are really tight, so you would know that he's
We are tight.
So we come back to why. You ready? Did you see that Sunday night game between the Packers, who had Matt Flynn, and the Patriots, who had Tom Brady?
Yes.
And Matt Flynn had a shot at the end of the game to win it. I'm telling you, the Packers play great defense, and with Aaron Rodgers, they will play great offense. And I believe that the Packers, playing the way they are right now, are exceedingly well coached. Mike McCarthy is a fantastic coach. And they play great on defense with Dom Capers. So I'm going with the Packers and the Patriots, and here's the upset. Ready? Packers win the Super Bowl.
See, I could be convinced that the Packers will get there. I think they could. Nobody's going to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, that's what they said in 2007, too. No one will beat them. And it was a crazy catch, holding on to the ball at the top of his helmet.
Yeah, I know.
David Tyree.
Yeah.
And he won it. So I'm telling you. Packers win the Super Bowl. Sorry to the Smitty lovers, and I love him too, so and sorry to me.
I think if they get that far, they're going to freak out a little bit. The bright lights are going to scare them just
a
little bit.
No, man, they played in big games all year. You go on the road and you beat Michael Vick in Philadelphia, that's a significant win. But more important than that, the game that told me that they could do it was the way that they played with Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn, and they really, other than that big fullback, their running game is, I know the Starks kid had a good game this weekend, but that fullback ate up the middle of the Patriots' defense where Wilfork likes to hang out. Just telling you right now, that was the game where I said, you know what? I think they can, if they get Rodgers back and they can win the right games, I think they can make something happen. Can you come in? Can you say hello?
Look at this.
Please come in and say hi, because I'm going to tell you who I pick for the Super Bowl and see exactly what you think about this. Terry McDonough has made his way into the studio. The scouts, their job never ends. They work early in the morning. They work late in the evening. They show up on Wednesday night when you're not expecting them. How are you?
Good.
Can you pull that thing down so the folks can hear you?
Sure. I'll stop eating, too. I don't want. You never want to eat on the air, right, Joe?
Yeah, don't eat on the air.
Yeah, you sound like a local yokel. And that is a shot at somebody. But
could end up being
who.
Coach. You never know.
So talk to me real quick. I think the Packers are going to beat the Falcons. I think the Packers are going to win the NFC.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I told someone I thought they'd beat the Falcons this week too.
So. Yeah, you know, We did not have a conversation. I haven't even talked to you in 2 weeks, have we? So
no.
This is not preconceived. The thing I liked about them was that Sunday night game in New England. Do you remember that?
Where they I just watched it 30 seconds ago on tape.
Did you really?
I just finished watching some of
that.
Matt
Flynn is the quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers. Their running game is suspect. It's not like they have a Maurice Jones-Drew in their backfield. And they go in, and Flynn has a couple of shots at the end zone late in the ball game with a chance to beat Tom Brady, who at that point most people thought was unbeatable, the way that they had won in Chicago, the way that they had won in Pittsburgh. You know, they were playing it the way they'd beaten the Jets on Monday Night Football. I think the Packers could be in the Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Yeah, they're peaking at the right time. How about a Packers-Bears NFC Championship game?
See, I think that's a done deal.
Yeah, well, let's not, you know, Matt Ryan and Atlanta, they are on the right to, I mean, it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a good game.
You like these this weekend?
Yeah, well, of course, I used to work for Baltimore, so I think that's going to be it. I personally think Baltimore's going to win that game.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I know a lot of people, Pittsburgh fans will probably listen and say, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
But Baltimore won there earlier this year.
Yeah, they're just, the way, you saw how Flacco played the other day, he was outstanding.
And Pittsburgh has a big problem. Their offensive line is not real good.
How healthy is Troy Polamalu?
That's another question. No one really knows.
You know,
he's got an Achilles issue that they're trying to work him through.
Baltimore's weakness is their corners. They're tremendous up front on both sides of the ball. Anyone that watched the Kansas City game, they were dominant.
Yeah, but here's my question to you, though. How does a team with the talent that they have, what do they have, 24 sacks this year? They have fewer sacks than the Jaguars did.
Well, I know Suggs and Nada put a lot of pressure on
them. Oh, yeah. No, those guys do.
So their numbers might have been down, but those two guys, Nada is... In my opinion, not as the best defensive tackle in football.
It's awful hard to argue with that.
And Suggs, anytime he wants, can be as good a pass rusher as there is. So.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
And then the Green Bay Atlanta game, we see Abraham for Atlanta, and then Matthews for Green Bay.
All right, I won't say done deal, but if I'm looking, I think the Bears beat the Seahawks because they're playing in Chicago, and I like the way that the Packers are playing. I don't know. I guess I could go with you and say it's going to be Baltimore and New England.
Well, you know, anyone could say, oh, it's going to be Atlanta and New England. I mean, they're the favorites. So if you want to go out on a limb and use a little logic, I'll say Green Bay, like you said.
Okay.
And
no way Baltimore beats New England?
Well, they did last year.
Yeah.
They you know, they did what you had to do. They get out Ray Rice, had that 70-yard touchdown run, and then the next series, Suggs strips Brady. I mean, you have to do that at New England. Now, to say Baltimore go in there twice in a row, 2 years in a row, and beat them in the playoffs, that's another thing. But I'll go out again. I'll a couple dark horses. I'll go Green Bay, New England. Is that what you're doing?
I'm going Green Bay, New England, and I'm going Green Bay.
See, I don't.
Excuse me. I was going to go Green Bay, Baltimore.
I went Green Bay, New England, and I went Green Bay.
And I'll say Green Bay, Baltimore, and I'll go Green Bay.
Okay,
I'm writing this stuff down here.
No, wait, real quick.
No. Okay, then it's Atlanta, New England, and I'll go New England.
We're
going to write it down.
Yeah, no, you can write it down for me, but not for him. He's a more esteemed football.
Last time you two wrote a couple predictions down on this wall.
Yeah, it didn't go too well. No, yeah. That was the indie game. I'm going to ask you something, and I just you know Rex Ryan.
Very well. Okay. I worked with him for a long time. We used to eat lunch together almost every day.
Really? So yeah. He's your boy?
He was a good friend of mine. He's gone a little Hollywood on us. I haven't talked to him in a while.
I was just about to ask you if that's the same Rex Ryan that was in Baltimore, or if being in New York, he's decided that in the league's largest market, with the Jets, who would be overshadowed by the Giants if it weren't for a lot of beat our chest, if that's who he always was, or if he's exaggerating a bit.
Both.
Okay.
It's who he always was, and now he has the biggest platform in the world to let people know. So that's where the exaggeration comes in.
But are you surprised that he is so open about taking shots at Tom Brady? And when his player, I'm sure you saw what Antonio Cromartie said about Tom Brady yesterday when the media asked him. If not, I can't say it on the air. I can write it down for you. And then he got his players back today. And that just strikes me as, I mean, you're going to play Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at their place. You might want to keep your head down this week and not have it up there.
I think Rex, knowing Rex, his approach is the total opposite.
Okay.
It's these guys kicked our you-know-whats a month ago or 2 months or whatever it was. I am going to do everything I can to take the talk off of how good New England is.
Okay.
And it's going to be in all this other crazy stuff. So when we go up there, people are talking about everything about except how good New England is.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know. New England might turn around and do it to him again.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be a close game.
Do you really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the Jets and the Patriots have traditionally been like the Jaguars and the Colts. I mean, even though the Patriots have won more games over the last 10 years, I said Jets and Colts, Jaguars and Colts. Mm-hmm. Tight games. For the most part, tight games.
Sanchez, he's looked a little nervous late in the year here. And if he plays like that against their defense, starts throwing to the Patriots, it won't be close. So I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. But if they can run the ball with those two good running backs they have in the Jets defense, New England, I think, has as good O-line as there is in the league. They can just hang in there. The Jets have good corners.
You're about to start traveling, aren't you?
Yeah, this is when it really, you know, the season ends and people think this player personnel department for the Jaguars, this is when we get heated up.
It's out of season, but it's not off season.
Yeah, Gene takes all the personnel people, and we go to the East-West game this week, and then the following week.
And that's Orlando.
Yeah.
It used to be in Palo Alto.
It used to be in Palo Alto 20 years and on. They used to draw 60,000 people a game. It was a big thing, and the attendance has gone down. And what they've tried to do is move it to different cities where there's Shriners hospitals.
Okay.
Gerald Ford won the MVP of the game. That's how long that game's been around.
No kidding.
The Senior Bowl, which is the biggest bowl game, is the following week.
Okay.
We spend the entire week.
In Mobile.
People think you just go to the games. What we do is we go down and we watch practice all week.
And you meet, too, right?
Yeah, that's when I first met Tyson Alualu. I was in the practice field at the Senior Bowl a year ago, and I walked by him, and he just had the kind of, you know, Vic likes to call it the look. He doesn't, look in the eye. Yeah. So, but you could tell and Tyson had a great week there. But a couple of years ago, Jarrett Dillon and Mike Thomas, we were in the receiver market, and those two went to the East-West game, and they were outstanding all week long.
So you got a good look at them.
So it's not, it's just a piece of the puzzle, but it's a great way to meet the kids, see how they compete.
Right.
And also, the scouts go out and they do the work all fall. And then all of a sudden, all these players come to one spot and you get to kind of, it's like Christmas for a scout. You get to look and see all your guys doing. You know, you're rooting for the guys during the week that you gave a good grade to.
Yeah.
And if you didn't give the guy a good grade, you want them to, you know.
Can you hang on for another 8 minutes? Can you go to the bottom of the hour?
Absolutely.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. If you will call Montel, we'll get Mercedes and Montel in the last half hour. But we'll go. We got Terry. Let's grab him real quick. All right, you're listening, Jaguars This Week. I am no longer solo, which is a very good thing on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton along with Terry McDonough filling in for both Vic and Jeff, and doing a hell of a job, Terry.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thank
it takes
you,
one person to fill those two shoes, so all right, just kidding. Montel Owens joins us. You want to bring him up, Joe, or you want me to?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So we got Montel for a couple minutes. Pro Bowl, Montel Owens, and Terry McDonough is here. Montel, first of all, congratulations on the Pro Bowl. You have been working towards that since the day you arrived.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, I've been working towards being the best I can be for the Jaguars, and it's about time some of the guys are starting to get a little bit of recognition. So,
Terry, if you could have 53 players like this, you'd take it, wouldn't you?
We'll win a Super Bowl. He, you know, we have a lot of tough guys on this team.
Yeah.
You know, Maurice, Donald, I think he's the toughest guy on our team. I mean, the way he plays the game, how violent he is, down in and down out, he's just an example for the other 52 guys. And we have a few of them, but this Montel Owens sets the bar. And this is his first year he's made the Pro Bowl, but, you know, Kasim, I'm glad Kasim is with us this year. Montel could have been in the Pro Bowl the last 3 years as a special teams
player. But having a guy like that on the opposite side of you this year certainly helped.
Now, he's great, too. You know, but Montel is a class guy. You know, what we do in scouting is we can bring in a bunch of guys like this, we'll win. And I'm not saying it because he's on the air. He deserves it. He works so hard. He's so tough and talented. I'm just thrilled for him.
What's Montel?
Thank you so much.
What does Kasim think about you going to the Pro Bowl?
Let's see.
Hello?
Here. Hello.
Oh, there you go. Let me
okay.
ask, how have you? I mean, Kasim's been used to going to the Pro Bowl now. Is he a little bit miffed that he's not getting the trip?
No. Actually, I had met him years ago in Hawaii when Fred Terrell went to the Pro Bowl. A bunch of his fellow athletes support Freddie. And him not seeing the cook, I mean, we never would have thought we were playing for the same team. But ever since the time we first met, we've been in touch, been in contact. For him to come here and be a part of this great special teams unit and make the special team unit we have better. All year long, we've been, you know, proud of each other's success. And he's that way now. I think he's actually going to be joining us anyway, that was why.
You know, you're breaking up. Real quick, I do want to get one thought from you before we go at the bottom of the hour here. How about timing for you? You don't have to go to Miami. You get to go play the Pro Bowl in Honolulu where it's supposed to be. Good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, a trip to Miami doesn't mean much to a guy who lives in Jacksonville, but a trip to Honolulu, that's pretty sweet.
Hey, I think it means much right now. It's pretty cold up here in Jacksonville. I think Miami, they're up in the 70s. So.
How about this guy? He's got a function to go to this evening. One of the most involved guys in the community as well. Montel, you're a gem, man. We certainly appreciate you. And we'll catch up with you for a longer interview over the course of the offseason, okay?
Let's do that. Let me know. Anytime.
Pro Bowler. Enjoy your trip to Honolulu.
Sure will. Hopefully we'll be speaking before then.
Now we will. No doubt we will.
All right now.
See you later.
Thank you all.
All right.
All righty.
Heck of a trumpet player. By the way, did you hear? I'm going to say this just because it's so good. Did you hear what he did for Christmas?
It wouldn't surprise me. What'd he do?
You're going to love this. And this goes to show that you can find good guys who can be great players and great guys who can be good players. Montel and his new bride, he married a girl from McKeesport up outside Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Beautiful girl. And they decided for their first Christmas they wanted it to be very memorable. And so they found a family not far from the stadium here. And I think there were four or five kids and a mom and a dad. They went, bought a tree, bought a turkey, bought decorations, bought presents, and took it to the family. Now, here's the part. Because there are a lot of players in the NFL that do that adopt a family.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the first. But then they stayed, helped him decorate the tree, helped him make dinner, and celebrated Christmas with them.
Wow.
That is beyond touching.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people would do that?
He's so well-rounded, and he really gives back. And this is a guy now. This wasn't a first-round draft choice.
Undrafted.
This is a guy that Marty Miller, one of our scouts, after the draft. You know, Montel didn't even start his whole time at Maine. But we went up there, and, you know, that's how this league is. There's so many great players that don't go in the first and second round. On the other side of the coin, there are a lot of players that go in the first and second round that aren't Montel Owens. So, but it's the fabric of the person, and he's just so dedicated to winning, and his teammates love him, and he's a leader, and I'm just glad to have him.
He's always one of the most, he's always They're early and stays late.
If you have a bunch of, I don't mean to cut you off, Brian. If you have a bunch of Montel Owenses, you're going to win a lot of games.
And that's why I'm saying 53 guys. And there are some really great guys in the locker room.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to say you need to replace him with a Montel Owens type of guy. But if you have a locker room that is predominantly guys like Montel Owens, you will win.
Yeah, you know, I could. There's Maurice and Daryl Smith, and you can go on and on. I mean, I could. If I go, I'm going to miss a couple guys. You know, you're going to have Mercedes on here. You don't want to start naming names, but Montel Owens. If there's a tougher guy on this team, I want to see who is, because when you watch the tape every week, he's flying down the field trying to hurt people.
You going to hang around a little bit?
Sure.
We got a break for news, and we're going to try and find Mercedes Lewis. We'll chat Terry McDonough, Mercedes Lewis, Vic and Jeff next week. We're doing okay.
Who needs him?
I didn't say that. You did. Back after news. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week continues Wednesday evening before the divisional playoff round. Brian Sexton joined by Terry McDonough and now Pro Bowl tight end Mercedes Lewis. That does not get old saying it, Mercedes. So tell me, it doesn't get old hearing it either, does it?
No, it doesn't. Definitely a blessing.
How have the last 10 days treated you? I mean, what have you been doing?
Pretty well. I still trying to get settled in back here. I've been able to see my family and spend a lot of family time. Currently, right now, I'm in the tattoo shop finishing up some of my tattoos. So,
is there any space?
It was good that you guys called in so I could take a break.
Any space left there? Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I got some fill-in work to get done.
All right. Hey, so you won't come back to Jacksonville until when? When the collective bargaining agreement is done and they decide on a time, right? For you to guys report. So you got a couple months out on the West Coast.
Yeah, we're just working out and waiting around, you know. Nothing more you could do about it.
And you got a contract you want to get negotiated.
Yeah, I do. I need that. I love it. So I'm just playing the waiting game and seeing what happens.
All right, we got Terry McDonough in here, and I know you know Terry. So I'm going to ask a question. You just sit there and smile while he says all kinds of nice things about you. But honestly, Terry, is there another tight end in the league that combines the total package like this one? I mean, there are some fantastic receiving tight ends, but I don't think there's one that combines the receiving ability we saw this year with the blocking ability.
Well, that's what the fans don't see. They can see the catches and the runs and the plays in the middle of the field and the touchdowns. But where he is definitely the best at is blocking. He's the best blocking tight end in the NFL. And the regular fan does not see that. When you watch all the tight ends in this league and then you watch Mercedes block, and he'll even admit this, at UCLA he was an athlete, a runner, a catcher, a pretty good blocker, but his blocking has just blossomed into where as good a blocker as Kyle Brady was years ago for the Jaguars, and he was the best, Mercedes is the best blocking tight end in the NFL today.
And Mercedes, we've talked about this on the air before, and you talked about, you know, that season that you got with Kyle back in 2006, and
right.
And how much that meant to you. Who else has been instrumental in your blocking ability?
I think definitely one of the best tight end coaches that I've been around, Coach John Embry, who got to UCLA my sophomore year and really took my game to a different level. And, he made me just really understand if I wanted to be one of the best and separate myself from the pack that, you know, my value would be much, much bigger if I was able to block, at least as good as some of the just blocking tight ends that all they worry about is blocking. So, as any competitor will want to do, you want to go back and assess where you need to get better at. And each year I try to just add a little more in my blocking and receiving. And I just want to be one of the best to do it and one of the most complete tight ends in the NFL. And whatever I have to do to get there, I'm determined to do it.
10 touchdowns. And Lagerman said it, and I said it. We wanted you to have the record. You're tied with Reggie, but to have your name atop the board, that means something when you consider Keenan McCardell was here, Jimmy Smith was here. Did you have a sense that this year was going to be your year for touchdowns, or did it just work that way with David as he unfolded on the field?
Honestly, I think each year you want to challenge yourself, and coming into this year, before I left home, I remember talking to my mom, my brother. I told him I wanted at least 8 to 10 touchdowns. And that's the bar that I set for myself coming into the year. So to be able to accomplish that, obviously my teammates helping me and challenging me every day in practice and getting me better and It helped that me and Dave were on the same page for much of the season. It was exciting to be able to do that.
All right, now here's the tough question. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Remember we were standing in the hangar going through security after the,
right.
in Nashville, and we were talking, right. and he came up to me, Terry, and he said, you know we're not the same team, because he'd been quizzed in the locker room about this Jaguars team and the mettle and the resiliency and the way that they had been winning. So all that said, and I believe you. I mean, we know that's not the same team.
Right.
But the season ended the same way. So how tough is it for you to deal with it? How much does it motivate you? And how close are you, do you think, as a team, to being able to crack that glass ceiling and next year finish in this dance that's going on right now without you?
You know what? I think, first of all, we're very close. And it hurts. It's going to hurt anybody if you're a competitor. I think it hurts even more because you were that close and then let it slip away again. But that is what drives you. As a football player, as an athlete, that's what drives you is one smash what you did the year before. And, you know, whatever the pieces may be that we'll need to continue to move on and build, Gene and Wayne and I'm sure Jack, everybody in our organization will make sure that we get that so that we can continue to compete and be better and put us over the top. And I think at the end of the day, it's all about executing the details, and I felt like we let that get away a little bit, and you know that's just something that you have to work at. We're a young team, and we'll continue to grow, and that's the most exciting part about it.
All right, so Terry's sitting here; he's about to go to the East-West Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl and the Combine. What would you like to see the Jaguars add in the draft? What should Terry be looking for?
Oh man, that's a hard question.
Just
man.
Not a tight end.
I think I put a good taste in their mouth when it comes to tight ends. They won't need to be looking for one of those.
Anything but a tight end, Terry. Anything but a tight end.
We have a great starter, and we have some good backups, too.
Yeah, real quick, Terry, your thought on Zach Miller and where he's at, and then I want to get yours on him, Mercedes, because I know a lot of people are asking about him.
Yeah, Mercedes has watched him. He'd be really one to talk about because he's seen him develop from when the kid came in here as a quarterback that was just an athlete to where he is now. So I'll let Mercedes take it. But he's extremely talented in the pass game. He's getting better as a blocker. And then Mercedes can just touch up on how he thinks he's developed.
Yeah, what do you see from him?
Well, when it comes to Zach Miller, I feel like he has the same kind of fire in his eyes when I got here and Kyle was here. He asks a lot of questions and wants to be better. And I think that right there is the start. You have to want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just going to be a quarterback and just all of a sudden be a great tight end. You know, you have to want to do it. And he has that fire. He's tough. And what he does in the passing game and what he's going to continue to do and continue to grow, sky's the limit. And I'm looking forward to the next year and years to come so that we're able to grow in the offense together and continue to do some of the same things.
I'll just tell you this, and I know I don't say this publicly a lot, but I've told you this, Mercedes, and just because of the kind of person you are, the kind of player that you've become, Terry, this is number one on my list of all-time Jaguars. I know Baselli is crying about this now, and Loggeman's feelings are hurt, but you climb to the top, Mercedes. You are a class act, and it's we appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show this evening and look forward to getting a contract done and you getting back here this next season.
Well, I really appreciate it. You know, we've always had a good relationship since I got here.
Yes, sir.
It's been a blessing to be able to do what it is that I want to do and what's going to help us compete every Sunday. So I look forward to continuing to do that.
All right. Take care of yourself, Mercedes. Enjoy your time with your family. We'll see you back here soon.
I will.
Have fun in Hawaii. Thanks,
you got it. Thanks, Mercedes. I mean, you know, I go and I can list a lot of the guys. And Baselli was there, and Brunel was there, and Jimmy Smith was there, and Fred Taylor, obviously. Maurice is on that list. There's some guys like Brant Boyer that most people don't remember. But Mercedes goes right to the very top.
Well, he's a true pro.
Yes.
And I used to complain to Gene all the time in the past here about leadership, and we have a bunch of emerging leaders, which is when you talk about the locker room, that's what I like about this locker room. We have a handful of guys on offense, handful of guys on defense, and Mercedes, along with David and Maurice and a couple other guys on offense, have really said, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
By the way they do it every day in practice, by how they are in the locker room,
you
by
see
how
that
they
I
are
don't
in the community, it's what Gene's envisioned for this franchise moving forward, and it's great to see because without leadership, you don't really have a lot.
Well, and you could hear the hurt in his voice. I mean, he'd like to be playing.
Yeah,
you
I'm
could
sure
hear
they all would.
Yeah, they all would. But in particular, you could
you
hear
know, I live, as you know, in the peninsula right across the way, and it was Saturday night, and the, I think the Colts were Saturday night. And
yeah.
I was looking over at the stadium with the lights off, and I turned to my wife, and I said, we should be playing in that stadium
right now. Right now, yeah. I said the same thing, too. Yeah.
I don't want to say that next year.
Okay. Let's not. Folks, we're going to take a break, come back. Terry's going to sit with us for a couple more minutes. If you got a thought for him, question, comment, bring it. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Back to wrap things up right after this. All right, 7 minutes to go in our program this evening. We appreciate Montel Owens and Mercedes Lewis, the good guys. I mean, you listening, many of you probably have seen them out at golf tournaments, at Boy Scout meetings, at you know charitable functions. They're the really good guys in the locker room. You've done a hell of a job at bringing in a whole lot of players that can make that happen. Now the key is you got to get busy.
Yeah.
You got to go find some guys. And let me throw a list at you real quick, and
sure.
You tell me if I'm right on. Obviously, you need safety. I mean, anybody can see that. You need to increase the competition there. Durant's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Morrison's contract is coming up, so you got to get some help at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
How are you on the offensive line? I mean, do you feel comfortable with what you've got there?
Yeah, the guys played well this year as a group. And also, we had Smiley, who wasn't starting at the end. You know, Uche was starting.
Yeah.
Vinny was starting. So we have three good guards. Brad played really good football.
So you still see football in his future?
He didn't give us any reason not to see it.
Well,
I mean,
good for
he
him.
He started for 16 games. Yeah. And he played well.
Yeah, and he's had a couple of injuries the last few years that made you wonder with the biceps and the ankle.
If you didn't know how old he was, you wouldn't question anything. You'd just say the guy for 16 games played winning football. And, you know, Evan will come back and Eugene played well. So, and, you know, in this league, offensive line that stick together and gel over the years, cohesive, that's what you see. Like New England's this year, I mean, that's a perfect example.
Right.
Baltimore's. I mean, the ones that stick together and you keep the same guys moving forward, you win that way.
So if you've got a best player available mentality and there happens to be a good young center or a good young guard, it's a guy that you look at.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows this is we want to win running the ball, which we can do and play defense.
Yeah.
So that's not a secret.
And, I mean, if it's not a secret, then, I mean, can you go into a draft focused on one side of the ball? I mean, if you look at the numbers, it would make you think, we've really got to improve that defense because the offense was okay. Do you take that or do you really stick to a best player available mentality?
You know, I always think this is just repeating Gene's words, but, you know, you set the board putting the best players one to whatever.
Okay.
And then you have a bunch of players within a range that are all, when you have 400, 500, 600 guys, you know, you're going to have a range of six guys that you have graded almost identical. And then within that range, you know, you have a choice. You might have a safety there, a linebacker, a center, a corner. What Gene's not afraid to do is, we've done it back, is he went offensive tackle, he went defensive tackle.
Right.
He's not afraid to double up because you're going to need those positions. But, let's, you know, if we're not, I'm sure we're not going to draft a tight end in the first round.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. Yeah. you feel good about where DeAnthony Smith is?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard good things about him.
Yeah, he's healthy. He's ready to go. He'll be ready this spring and into the summer.
How much of an impact would he have been? Would he have given you a Tyson Alualu kind of impact?
No.
Played a lot?
No, you know, that's too much to ask of him. He would have been a good rotational third. He was a good player. You know, it's next year it'll be like getting an extra third-round pick. He's a good kid. He'll work hard. Coach Cullen will have him in there ready to go, and we'll have Terrence and Tyson. We're very strong at defensive tackle, obviously,
with
DeAnthony coming back. And, you know, we have good young defensive ends, and we just, you know, we have some questions in the secondary and at linebacker, and we'll get them addressed.
You know, maybe you guys recognize this, maybe you don't. Do you know how fascinating it would be to let NFL Films, if that's what it has to be, shadow you guys an entire out of season as you go through your process, your meetings, your
you know,
grades?
You just made me think of Jim Rome, a national guy.
Yeah.
You know Jim Rome. He had Evel Knievel on his show one time. And Jim asked Evel a question, and Evel paused, and he said, "Don't you know who I am? Gene Smith, don't you know who he is?
Yeah.
Do you think?"
Oh, there's no chance. No, I know. I know there's no chance. And I wasn't even necessarily saying Jacksonville. Any coach, general manager, that had enough confidence.
They do that.
Trust.
They followed Phil Savage around a bunch of years ago. It's a
but
real.
I mean, the real decision making meetings where you're nailing it out, and you got scouts who are defending their player, and coaches arguing, and you know the process of coming to the grade.
I'm sure you'll see that. I mean, you see the stuff now in training camp. What is that called? Those things they do, Hard Knocks.
Oh yeah,
you'll see that eventually. But
boy, that's
this
a level
is
of trust. That's
is, well, you see it on draft day. Certain teams will bring cameras in the draft.
Yeah,
team.
But I don't
think you'll ever see that here.
Yeah, no, oh no. But beyond that,
couldn't see it till after the fact.
Yeah, and the camera was so focused on, you know, Jimmy Johnson when they started doing that with Dallas, you couldn't see the board. No, I'm talking about the meeting where you're all sitting around and you're putting the grade on these guys. Now, I mean, you would have to have a level of trust off the charts that your board wouldn't get out, you know, before the draft, and I'm sure that NFL Films wouldn't do that, but...
I don't think anybody would do that.
Yeah,
did you
bad.
See when we took Tyson in the first round this past year, everybody was all
chair.
Over us, but... They were in the Cowboys draft room, and you could see in the back room, background of one of the pictures, there was Alo's name on the board.
Yeah.
And all the fans were trying to figure out, and they said, oh, wait a minute, Dallas had him in the first round, too.
Yeah.
But you could see his name.
Did.
Yeah. He was a guy that was going to get picked.
Yeah.
Pretty close to where we were picking, and we knew it. Every year, there's one guy that stays quiet, but
that
too many
him.
Teams were on him.
Yeah.
You know, but he just wasn't a media guy. He wasn't a media-friendly pick.
That could work. It would be a production nightmare, but it could work if you got every team to buy into it.
Yeah.
You'd see a little bit from everybody.
Yeah, I can't imagine it.
It wouldn't happen.
No way. I mean, you have a better chance of Obama letting you into the situation room in the bunker. You know,
what they are doing,
happening.
Though, Brian, what they are doing is, like, the combine used to be like that in February, March.
Yeah.
You couldn't get in.
Right.
Now the NFL Network's in there, and they're showing pretty much everything.
Boring
you're getting,
crap.
But you're getting more access to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and then they do the Senior Bowls.
They do the East-West. I know what you're saying.
The process
but,
that you're about to embark on, and I'm mm-hmm. not lobbying you for it. I mean, you can't make that decision, and I don't have enough cameras. What I'm saying, though, is it's a really interesting process.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk a lot during the season, but you go incommunicado now because you're working, you know?
The funny thing
part
is,
of the game.
Is you know, Gene doesn't read any of the stuff that's said about him, me, the team. He doesn't read it. He's too busy. But
yeah.
I kind of keep him abreast on what's going on. And you'll read our fans, and I love them when they're posted on the message boards. They talk about, I think the Jag's going to do that. I think the Jag's going to do this. And some of them are pretty good, and some of them have no idea.
You read Vic stuff when he calls him a freaking genius?
Oh yeah, but he doesn't listen to it. I showed him the Vic Bo thing.
Oh, did you really?
Oh God, he's you know what? I didn't know how he was going to respond.
Go to YouTube, folks. If we've never, I don't know if we've mentioned this on the air before. VICBOW, Vic Bo.
You've
got to say. Did he laugh at all?
You know what? I didn't know how he was going to react because he's so poor. You know, but
he
smiled.
Anything. Okay,
he smiled. So I said, okay. I figured I'd tell those guys.
Hey, thanks for dropping down the hallway here today.
No, I really appreciate both you guys, and I promise you one thing: we're going to continue to get better.
I'm going to leave on those words. Thanks, Jerry. Have a great night, everybody.